Kate Krukowski-Gooding is a noted cookbook author, hunter, and trapper. She and her husband, Don, have been eating beaver for 30 years.
Mmm. Oh, come smell this.
Oh!
Thank you. I love
it. I'm surprised more people aren't eating beaver.
Oh wait, that's a little too loud.
Hey everybody, welcome back to My Life as a Foodie. My name is Phil, and I'm your co-host today. Joining me from Dude Night is the infamous Hog Dog,
aka Don.
That's right.
Yeah,
we'll call you Don now.
That's
right.
That's right. I am Don.
The mask is off.
That's right. Took the makeup off, just like Kiss.
Took 31 episodes. I finally got you on the show.
I know. Well, it's been kind of tough to catch me.
You're like kind of like the Batman.
Roaming gnome.
Okay, we'll say roaming gnome then. We got a big show here for you today. We got a lot of stuff we're going to talk about. We've got a special beer from Groucho and Tud.
I can't wait to try that.
At the Beer Report. Broken Cherry Wheat Ale.
Ooh.
It's a complete mistake, but it's supposed to be something really phenomenal. And we're going to talk about a few issues. And basically, the reason why Don is here is that we're going to discuss food in Brazil.
Okay.
It's a Brazilian show.
Ooh.
Okay. In more ways than one.
More than one.
So, any of you fans of Dude Night who have been waiting to hear us back together, here we are.
That's right. We're together.
I'm glad you're here.
Thanks.
Cool.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you here.
Yep.
So, basically, this is really kind of funny, is that, like I said, you spent 31 episodes, I finally get him on. When we were doing Dude Night, I decided that I was going to start doing a food show, and I wanted Don to do it with me.
Yeah.
And we were going to do a video thing called Counterculture,
that's right.
Which you named, and it was going to be based on the fact that there were so many cultures in America
right.
that we eat food from.
I mean, in L.A. alone.
Oh, yeah.
Just here.
It was going to be focused in California, but because you travel all over the place, you've eaten everything.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And the good, now, the bad, and the ugly.
And now you really have eaten everything.
Without question.
So, so that was kind of the deal there. And so Counterculture, I liked it. I liked the idea.
Yeah.
And so Ibisu was the first thing I did on my show.
Right.
Because
I remember that.
That was what we were going to do first. I think it kind of gave me the idea. So here we are, and we're actually, this will be the first episode of Counterculture.
Perfect. That'll work.
So what have you been up to?
Well, last time...
Like, since Dude Night.
Since Dude Night, I've logged about 210,000 miles in an airplane.
Jesus.
I've been down, since August, I've been down to Brazil 7 times. Starting up a business for our company.
You've got business going on down there.
I have business going on down there. And so I've embraced that culture and kind of heavily into that with many different things in my life. But just down there a lot. A lot of things all across the United States and just having fun.
Nice.
Just having fun.
Good.
Eating and drinking my way across the world.
As you tend to do.
I enjoy it every time I land.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get into the food aspect of what you've been doing lately.
Oh, yeah.
Later on in the show.
Plenty of that.
It'll be the kind of the meat of the matter.
Uh-huh.
But right now, we're going to go ahead and crack open this beer from Groucho and Chud.
Nah, I cannot wait.
Okay.
I'm ready for this. Okay. Tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready. Go ahead. All right. Hog Dog's got the beer.
All right. We're opening up.
All right. Hold on. First of all, before you open, let me tell you something. This is called Groucho and Chud's Broken Cherry Wheat Ale. All right. And they sent it to me in a box with a shitload of beer that I'm going to be filling up with more beer that I bought for them. A bunch of special surprises, including a homemade batch of beef jerky that I made.
Ooh, delicious.
And I'm going to have a blog post later. We'll talk about this later in the show. Blog post to tell you how to make your own beef jerky. It's the best Super Bowl snack you will ever have. Ever make. I mean, people are going to come with nachos and shit like that. Forget it. Make beef jerky. You'll be like the king of the castle. Okay, so go ahead and open a beer. It's bottle condition, 22-ounce bomber. Okay, then.
Oh, we had an opening.
Go ahead.
Sounded good.
Groucho and Chud made this beer back in February of last year when...
pours nice.
It looks
beautiful.
Good
there. Beautiful. Nice color, guys.
Remember when Groucho broke his leg?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So Chud decides to cheer him up. He can teach him how to brew. So Chud buys this... He tells me the whole story. Buys this Hefeweizen kit. It's one of these extract kits, Hefeweizen. And they make the beer, and they video it. I mean, it was on, you know, the confrontation board, stuff like that. They make the beer.
Holy shit. What a nose.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you the story you taste. Okay. So they make the beer. It ferments. And these two guys forget about the beer. Uh-huh. So it sits around for like 6-7 months.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. What happened to that beer we made? So they go back to it, of course. And this beer is just like sitting there suffering. It's done, right?
Yeah.
Because if you know anything about brewing, once a beer is gone like maybe 3 or 4 months, or 3 or 4 months, 3 or 4 weeks, that yeast starts to settle out of the beer, and you either have to rack it and bottle it, or, you know, rack it after a week, then bottle it. But, you know, if the yeast settles out of the beer, for the most part, over a certain amount of time, especially a few months,
right,
there's not going to be anything left in the beer for you to actually, you know, add sugar to carbonate
it. Right, we have to force carbonate it then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what they decided to do was Groucho, once he gets his legs back, goes and gets a bunch of cherries.
Uh-huh.
Fresh cherries.
Yeah.
Squeezes the juice out of them, pours the juice into the fermenter.
Wow.
Then they let it sit for a little while to eat some more sugar, and then they bottled it with priming sugar. So we're sitting here on like a 9-month cherry wheat ale.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Smell that. I mean, it smells amazing.
It smells kind of Belgian.
Yeah.
You ready to taste?
I'm ready.
Taste!
Yeah. Cheers.
Hey, salute.
Here we go. Saúde.
Saúde. Sorry.
Ooh, no, I like that.
That is kind of fucking good.
That's got a nice little lambic sour
to it. I like that. Yeah,
that's
it does.
That's delicious.
A little sourness.
Yeah. You know, in my opinion right now, it's probably about 5-8 degrees cold. It needs to warm up a little
bit.
I think the flavor will come out even more because the first thing you taste and it's the cherry. But then you have this little bittersweet, like a tartness in there.
But the glass between your butt cheeks is warm.
Hey. I got something to put it between.
I like that, dude. That's very good.
I love it. Delicious. Now, that first little hint of cherry is good, and then there's a nice little tart finish.
You know, I battled because I thought, what if we open it and it sucks?
We've dealt with that before.
I know, but what are you going to say? You know, you send this beer.
You hit the pause button really fast, and then we bust balls.
I'm shocked at how...
it's good.
Professional.
It's delicious. It's really good.
It's very good.
Yeah. I mean, it's a beer that doesn't need much carbonation, so it doesn't have it. It's a really light in carbonation, which I like.
Yeah, very good.
And there's, you know, respectable head retention.
The tartness is there.
The tart finish is delicious.
Well, this is genuine beer review. I never go this in-depth on my life as a foodie. I never do.
It's good.
That's very good.
How's that?
Yeah, that's how we do my beer reviews.
Yeah.
Very good.
Clarky likey.
Okay. Very nice.
No, I like this. Is fantastic. Good job, guys.
Hey, very good.
And yeah.
Thanks for sending this.
Absolutely.
So, I do have one topic that I want to discuss here. Because it's a freaking major hot topic. It's burning me in the ass all week. CNN ran a report.
Burning you in the ass like a... nice hot chili pepper.
A little worse than that because it's a food issue. You know how I am with food issues.
Oy.
CNN ran a report on these, I call them whistleblowers. They literally wrote an open letter to the Obama transition team. They're from the FDA. And this has nothing to do with food, but it kind of does because it gets back to what we were saying last year. For so many, I don't know, it's like 3 months in a row, I talked about how the FDA is corrupt. And Sean came on the show and said that, you know, the FDA literally looks at anywhere from 6 to 10% of the produce that leaves farms from, that gets imported into the United States.
Right.
And, you know, the farmers here are forced to compete with those farms, and yet they don't even look at the food that's coming in. And we've had so many different situations where, even now we've got the peanut butter thing.
Right.
Or peanut butter with salmonella scare.
Yep.
Last year we had spinach, we had chicken, we had beef, we had, what was the other one? Was there another one? Chili pepper.
Yeah, we had chili peppers, lettuce.
Lettuce.
Beef, chicken,
And they were scrambling to find out.
Yeah, well, there was another one.
There was a big one too. I can't remember.
Spinach.
No, it was spinach. Was that early
spinach,
one?
Spinach, lettuce,
tomatoes.
Beef, tomatoes.
It was tomatoes.
That's right.
So
tomatoes.
We're scrambling. You know, and everyone was like, "Don't buy tomatoes. No right. one's selling tomatoes now. Yeah. We can't buy tomatoes." Of course, I'm buying tomatoes from a farmer's market because I know they're safe. But for the most part, we're scrambling trying to find out where the problem is coming from. Why? Because the FDA didn't do their job. So these guys who work for the medical devices division of the FDA, they work for the medical devices division, and they sent an email or a letter, an open letter, to the Obama transition team saying that the purpose of this letter is to inform you that the scientific review process for medical devices at the FDA has been corrupted and distorted by the current FDA managers, thereby placing the American people at risk.
Unbelievable.
The thing is that this happened years ago. Years ago, they talked about there was some big debacle that happened with Vioxx. Do you remember that? The painkiller Vioxx?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And of course, you know, they're going to decline this publicly. They're not going to say anything. But, you know, because they're going to cover their ass. But inside, you know nothing's happening. I mean, these people should basically just kind of give up. They should say, all right, look, we're going to fire everybody. If you want this job back, you have to reapply for it.
Mm-hmm.
They go on to say in the letter, managers with incompatible, discordant, and irrelevant scientific and clinical expertise in devices have ignored serious safety and effectiveness concerns of FDA experts. Managers have ordered, intimidated, and coerced FDA experts to modify scientific evaluations, conclusions, and recommendations in violation of the laws, rules, and regulations, and to accept clinical and technical data that is not scientifically valid. Here's the report from CNN.
The FDA scientists who wrote the letter belong to a group that tests medical devices. CNN has obtained the 6-page letter written to John Podesta, head of the Obama transition team. The scientists allege, quote, the scientific review process for medical devices at FDA has been corrupted and distorted by current FDA managers, thereby placing the American people at risk, end quote. It's not news to the scientific community in Washington.
Their bosses actually tell them, change what you've written here. I don't like what you've written here. People are being harmed by this, and people are going to die as a result of this.
Of particular concern in this letter is the FDA Center for Devices and Radiological Health, which regulates items ranging from rubber gloves to contact lenses to heart stents to mammogram machines. The scientists charge that scientists and doctors have been threatened and told to ignore FDA regulations. Devices have not been properly labeled. Officials have recommended the removal of black box warnings. Manufacturers have marketed their products without FDA approval. FDA insiders say it's not a Bush administration problem, it's a systemic problem.
It is so broken, the new administration should consider all senior executive managers to tender their resignation and let the next commissioner decide whether or not they stay or not based on their performance and outcome on safety.
The Food and Drug Administration tells CNN, quote, the agency is actively engaged in a process to explore the staff members' concerns and take appropriate action.
Well, my point here is that even though this isn't about food, where there's smoke, there's a shitload of fire. I mean, do you not think that this is just kind of an indication of what's going on in the FDA and that in the food department, it's even worse?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you think about it. You think about the people that are in there, just the inept government employee kind of mentality. And then you go from diagnostic equipment where they're testing what 1 in 10. They're saying it's completely inept. Now going to food.
Right.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
You know, Obama at one point, I know it didn't happen. I mean, because the last I looked and I checked it out, he was talking to Michael Pollan to be the director of, he was going to be the director of agriculture.
Okay.
Department of Agriculture. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that happened. Either you didn't talk to him, or it didn't happen, or you didn't take the job, or you didn't offer it to him.
Yeah.
I thought that Michael Pollan would be the one person that could actually make a difference.
Right, right.
You know, because he seems to be an advocate for those things.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a step in the right direction for our government. I mean, don't you think this is kind of important? This is food. I mean, heart stents? Yeah, people can die from that. People die from food, too. Right. I mean, this is a really critical part of our government that's just being let down by people who just don't want to do their jobs.
But, you know, what's funny is if you think about it, in many of the countries outside, you know, outside the U.S., you think of other countries in Europe, Asia, South America, wherever, the regulations on food are not nearly as strict. And really what happens in a lot of these countries is that the quality is what's going to stand out. And the people are going to drive to the quality. And they're going to go to the better food. They're going to go to the fresher food. They're going to go to the stands. They're going to go to the local markets. They're going to go to the places. They're going to get the better quality of the food.
So that food's not being inspected by anybody.
No, they don't have those things. I mean, you watch some of these shows like Bourdain. He goes to Paris. I mean, they have fucking cheese sitting behind the cash register that you're eating. Okay?
Room temperature.
Room temperature, right. I mean, I've been to a bar in Spain and had breakfast, and the guy, you know, you're having like the little cheese toasties for breakfast. The guy's pulling them out, you know, he touches the money, he grabs the food, he puts it in the grill, he makes a breakfast for you. They don't, it's not like it's a big thing. It's not a problem. I mean, we just, everything's overblown over here so bad to the point where we try to just take every germ, make everything right. You know, go for it. So what if you get a little sick?
So you can't deny that shit in food makes you sick.
It's part of it, yeah, but it's part of life. It's just the way it is. I mean, if you try to defend yourself against everything, you're not going to live.
So you think it's the fact that we're weak?
Yeah, we're a bunch of fucking pussies. How's that? You know what? Yeah, a little diarrhea from food's not going to kill you.
Wow, that was not the direction I thought this would take.
I'm serious, but like if you go to the markets in Italy,
yeah,
you go to the markets in Spain, you go to the markets in France, you eat with what the locals are eating.
So you basically order asparagus con merda.
Sí, está bon. Yeah, no, you just get it, you wash it, you clean it, you take care of it. It's just like Farmers Direct. You know, you don't let it run through all the processes and everything. You know, the less people that touch the shit, the better off you're going to be.
Well, that's why Farmer Direct is the best way to go.
Absolutely.
Farmer's Market.
Right, right. But then you get all this regulated things that come in from all different countries, and then you try to clean it. It's like, how long ago were those strawberries picked in Mexico when you get them? I mean, how long have they been sitting around? How long have those tomatoes been, you know, pulled off the vine?
So maybe that's the problem. Maybe imported produce is not the answer for us.
No, because it has to sit. It sits so long. It's pulled so early. There's so many chemicals. There's so many preservatives put on them to make it for right. that time.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been a while.
That's right.
So it you know, you think about it that way, where something that's going to take 2-3 weeks to get to market from the farm, it's not going to taste right. It's not going to taste the same. I mean, you have gardens. You pull a tomato off your garden that afternoon. You cut it up. You put on some fresh mozzarella, some good balsamic vinegar. That thing's going to taste like it was given to you from God.
Right.
If you can see wax on your food, don't eat it.
Because I guarantee you, in Mexico, when they're buying this food, it's fine.
I've eaten food off carts in Mexico. I've eaten food off of carts all over the world. Okay. I mean, this is stuff that would normally be rejected by U.S. standards. They go, oh, it's blemished.
Right.
It's old. It's right. wilted. Whatever. It doesn't look right. But you know what? The reason why it's wilted, it's old, because it hasn't been sitting in a refrigerator. It hasn't been packed in nitrogen.
Because it's not fresh.
It is fresh. It's just going through its normal, natural, decaying life. But it's like, okay, it's a little wilted. Or something like that, or there's a blemish on the tomato, or there's a blemish on the fruit, whatever. It's gonna taste fine. If you're gonna eat it, it's gonna be okay. Wash the fucking thing, cook it, eat it. You're gonna be good.
That's the whole idea behind the farmer's market. You go there and you'll see a lot of ugly produce.
That's right.
But it's ugly because it comes out of the ground. It's not very pretty.
It's natural. It's not the perfect piece, but it's gonna taste great.
Right.
So I don't know. I think it's the people need to revolt. Fresh food.
All I know is this. If I was doing my job at 10% and the FDA is looking at 10% of the produce coming in from other countries, if I did my job at 10%,
right.
I'd be fired.
Let's strive for mediocrity.
And let's say that at 10% of doing my job, I'd be lucky just to be fired and not be charged with like criminal prosecution because my job was that important and people's lives depended on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you agree with that, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're an angry person.
Me?
You're all pent up.
No, man. It's all good. Todo bien.
If this show became a vehicle for me to just be pissed off all the time.
I guess so, man.
I'm very casual. I'm very nice, loving person. Ask anybody who knows me.
That's right.
And I get on this microphone. I'm like, oh, I'm a nasty bitch.
I haven't been on a soapbox in a long time.
Well, welcome to it.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. Is there room for two?
There is. Hey, check this out. Food Network came out with a show called Chopped. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
Now, you don't watch a lot of TV anymore, do you?
No, I don't.
Do you still watch Top Chef?
I haven't seen Food Network since July.
Well, Top Chef's on Bravo.
Well, okay, I haven't seen that.
You don't even keep up with that. That's all right.
Sorry, no, I just don't. I mean, I watch a little CNN World.
Right.
And
that's about it.
BBC and then the soccer channel.
You really are in Brazil.
ESPN Deportes.
In Brazil, you turn on normally here, you watch the morning news. Now there's the soccer channel.
I know, it is.
That's awesome. Okay, well, Food Network's show Chopped is basically like their answer to Top Chef.
Yeah.
And it's horrible. What happens is they'll bring in four chefs, and they have to go through, they have to make three entrees.
Right.
An appetizer, a main course, and then a dessert. And at each course, they'll eliminate somebody. So at the end, when they're making the dessert, that's like the final. So it's, you know, two people left. And it's hosted by Ted Allen.
Okay.
From Queer Eye from the Straight Guy.
It's already going downhill.
He's a funny.
He's fine, he's funny. I guess. He's funny. I mean, I don't remember. Last time I saw him was a Top Chef.
Yeah, he was on Top Chef. He was like a judge on Top Chef. Here's the funny thing, I think, is that Food Network would never have the balls to give Ted Allen a show until he was really successful.
Right.
Right? Bravo has the balls to do something like Top Chef.
Yeah.
Right? Has the balls to put something like Queer Eye from the Straight Guy.
Right.
Right? Four gay dudes.
Well, it's alternative TV.
Yeah. So, but they don't have a problem with that. Food Network, no, you've got to test the waters first, then they'll put it on.
Yeah. Aren't they owned by the same kind of like sharing holdings company or something like that?
I don't know, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah?
No, because Food Network doesn't have any nuts.
Oh, no, they're part of like the Fine Living Network or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I'm going to play you Ted Allen. Here's Ted Allen explaining the rules for Chopped.
Okay.
Okay? Listen.
There are three rounds. Appetizer, entree, dessert. Each course comes with its own basket of mystery ingredients. You must use every ingredient in the basket. If you need anything else, you can help yourself to our pantry and fridge. You will have 30 minutes to complete your dish. When you're finished, the judges will critique your work based on taste, presentation, and creativity. How inventive you were in your use of the mystery ingredients. If your dish does not make the cut, you will not move on to the next round. You will be chopped.
Let me tell you something. At Ted Allen talks like he has a pole up his ass. Right? And he normally is a pretty funny, entertaining guy.
Yeah, that was a little stiff.
You get on Food Network and all of a sudden, personality is not allowed.
No.
I couldn't get through the first episode without gagging. Seriously. I just fast-forwarded through a majority of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's dark. It's depressing. It can't hold Top Chef's jock. It's bad.
Mm.
It's not fun to watch. And the judges are horrible.
Yeah?
Yeah. And now they have different judges for each show.
Right.
Right. And on this particular show, Alex Guarcinelli.
Where's he from?
That's a girl.
Sorry.
Yeah, she's from she had the cooking loft. She got the face like she's smelling bad feet all the time.
Ah, yes. I know who she is. Yeah, right.
She doesn't like anything she eats. She's not like the greasy chick from like Top Chef, Iron Chef America.
Yeah. Okay. I know.
It's just, it's a no. I had hoped to pull more clips from it, but it was so bad. No.
Kept going back to Zimmerman.
Can't do it. Yeah, Zimmerman, good.
He's always good.
He's good.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I'd rather listen to him eating penis
than penis, talking about eating beaver and everything.
All that stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to have to tape that.
What?
I have to say something. Here we are. All right. If any of you guys knew about Dude Night, when we did Dude Night,
yeah,
it was almost three shows a night, and we'd have two or three beers a show.
Two or three? Fuck you. We'd have like four or five sometimes.
A lot of beer.
A lot.
So, just so you know, a little behind the scenes action, when I do my life as a foodie, I will normally only drink, normally, a half of a beer when I'm doing my show. Now, I don't care if my show is 30 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour. I'm drinking about a half a beer. On some occasions, when I did the Pliny the Elder show,
yeah,
I drank two of them.
Right.
And there were 16 ounces.
I know. Those are beautiful beers.
I got pretty good. I got pretty cooked, but I felt good. Here we are. I get hog-dug back in the studio. Don, excuse me. And we are on our fourth beer.
You say it like it's a bad thing.
We're 26 minutes into the show. And he's pouring Duvel now.
Hey, we're trying to sober up before we drink Clarkhead.
Oh, my God. All right, so I'm going to ask you. I'm going to get to the meat of the matter. And I mean meat. I mean generally.
Yeah.
Because I know there's a lot of meat eating in Brazil.
Yeah.
What is Brazilian food? To you, what is it like? I mean, what is that exactly? How would you encompass that?
I mean,
how would you define it?
In one word, fresh.
Fresh.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the best way of putting it. It's just, it's amazing. The flavors, the markets that you go to. On the weekends, you have these amazing local markets in all the bajos, the barrios, the neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
Every neighborhood has a market on the Saturday or Sunday, and if not, they go to the major, the federal market in São Paulo. Because I spend most of my time in São Paulo, a little bit in this town called Indaituba, which is north of São Paulo, but. Just the big thing that you find is the freshness of the food, the quality of the meat, the flavors that come out of things, just simple things. I mean, you go to like churrasco, which is their barbecue, and they have this like the churrascarias, the big barbecue houses. When the meat, when they cook it, it's basically salt. They just salt it.
That's it.
I mean, they rely on the freshness of the meat, the flavors of the meat, the quality of the meat. And they put a little salt on it, and they put it in the grill, and they put direct flame on it, and it's amazing. And the vegetables and the feijoada, which I'll go into, is amazing. Bacalhau is amazing. I mean, everything is just, it's fresh. It's
bacalhau
delicious.
Is salt cod.
Yeah, that's the salted cod. It's like a Portuguese thing. It's one of these things where. Like many of the great meals that you have in modern day food, it's something that kind of started with the peasants.
Yeah,
you know, bacalhau was something that they packed cod and salts.
They could preserve it
yeah. Because back when they didn't have the refrigerators.
So and Bourdain, when he went back to Portugal, he said that they had it with every meal.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know about every meal, but maybe Portugal they do, but you know, Brazil, it's one of those things where. It's something that you have on it's really popular on Good Friday in the Christian religion.
Well, dude, what Friday isn't?
Yeah, every Friday is a good Friday. Yeah, Terça-feira is always a good day. It's the best day of the week. But it's bacalhau is amazing. I mean, everybody makes it different. My girlfriend's uncle makes bacalhau, which is just some of the best bacalhau I've ever had in my life, and it's just baked. I mean, you cure it overnight, or you put it in water overnight to pull the salt out.
Right.
You bake it. You put some vegetable in there. You put a little olive oil in with it, some potatoes, and you have it with rice. And it's a simple dish, but it's just loaded with flavor.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Nice.
Good stuff. Yeah, it's good. It's good. But, I mean, it's just the food's amazing.
Now, there's not a whole lot of high fructose corn syrup in the food that you're eating there.
There's nothing. It's not even part of the language. There's not even a translation for it down there. There's no fructose corn syrup. There's no fructose. There's nothing like that. It's cane sugar. I mean, Brazil's one of the largest producers of cane sugar in the world.
My point is that they don't fill their food with that shit.
No, you have very limited preservative. Yeah, I mean, you obviously you can go to a supermarket and get canned food, packaged food, processed food, because that's everywhere in the world now. But no, I mean, you know, you just don't see it. You go to somebody's house and the refrigerators are the size of a large ice chest because they're not storing food for long periods of time. You go into a pantry and they're full of spices, not boxes of processed food waiting for a microwave. You just don't find it. So, I mean, the people are taking the time to make the food, make it fresh, make the ingredients. I haven't seen that kind of food since Italy.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
there's a whole European culture there in Brazil, no?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the 1700s, the Portuguese came. The late 1800s, the Italians came. The turn of the century, the Germans came. So, I mean, they have all this world influence. It's really interesting.
It's kind of an influx of different cultures.
Yeah, yeah. It's a wild influx. I mean, the largest Japanese population outside of Tokyo is in Sao Paulo, and they came for the coffee trade back at the turn of the century. So you can have amazing sushi, yakisoba, what's yakitori, the chicken, I mean, the grilled chicken. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's really good. And I've had, and the Italian food that I have there is probably some of the best stuff I've had outside of Italy. It blows away anything you'd have here in the United States.
So it's a pretty big melting pot of European culture. Absolutely. Then.
Well, European, but then they have also the indigenous. They have a lot of the fresh fruit, right. A lot of the fresh vegetables, everything that's going on down there. So there's always a twist. Right. There's always that little bit of a twist. Yeah. So it's great food. I mean, I miss it. I'm ready to go back.
You miss it already.
Next week. Yeah.
Well, you know, we went to a Brazilian barbecue place.
Yeah.
And it was literally one of those places where you go and there's a buffet area where you can get all your side dishes.
Right.
It's all you can eat.
Yeah.
And they'll come to your table with skewers of meat.
Right.
And you keep the green thing on your table.
Green is go, red is stop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The green card means keep the meat coming.
Yeah.
Red means slow it down.
Right.
So we went. I wanted that experience. And this was here in California. Uh-huh. And the meat was pretty good. I mean, they had good stuff. They had chicken heart.
Yeah.
They had, you know, of other kind of awful pieces. They had
right.
lamb. They had beef. God, I don't know, whatever else. They had pork.
Right.
And the side dishes, which were good. I wasn't all that impressed with that, knowing that it wasn't authentic.
Right.
It just kind of tasted okay to me.
Well, that's how, I mean, if you go to the churrascaria in Brazil, it's the same thing. You walk in, and it's very common. There's two really common things for lunch there, for business lunches, because I spend a lot of time entertaining customers at lunch and eating with them. You have the churrascaria where you walk in, you have the buffet in the middle, which has all kinds of different salads. They usually have feijoada. They usually have maybe some sushi, some Mediterranean things, and then they have the guys walking around with the churrasco that you can pick the meat, and they'll kind of try to explain it to you and tell you, you know, what cut it is. They have lamb, they have pork, they have beef, they have some of the organ meat, but that's very common. And then the other thing they have is it's kind of a plate lunch thing where you basically fill up your plate and you take it over there and they weigh it. It's all scaled food. So it's almost like a buffet, but it's actually amazing buffet food. It's really good.
It's good.
A lot better than what you would find here at like a Sir George's Smorgasbord or shit like that.
The whole buffet mentality just kind of kills me.
You think about a buffet, you think about Vegas, you think about really bad places, you think about senior citizen food, shit like that. But there, they're constantly rotating the food. Nothing sitting on hot plates. You're getting things that are very fresh, so it's good and it's quite reasonable. It's good food.
Nice.
Yeah. It's kind of like dishing up at mom's house kind of deal.
Right.
You know, it's not like it's been sitting around at all because the people are coming through and it's just constantly being turned, so it's always fresh.
And the cachaça, you like cachaça?
Churrasco.
Churrasco?
Churrasco, that's the grill. That's the barbecue.
Oh, what? Cachaça is the liquor that they make the...
Oh, cachaça.
Yeah.
Yeah, the like a caparino.
Caparino.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's good. You're good for about one of those, and you got a pretty good buzz on. And then the beer down there is good. It's made really into kind of like a German tradition. It's all light, lager, but you kind of think about the climate and the weather. You don't want a big, heavy beer. The last thing you want to be doing is sitting down on the beach drinking a stout. You know, you're just not interested in that. You want something light and crisp, lager, cold, refreshing.
Right.
It's delicious.
What about in the mountains?
I had lager beer or wine. Argentina's close, so you get really good Malbec. There's a champagne house down in Argentina that sparkling wine, because Chandon's down there. So you get that food. And then Argentina is a story all to itself. Huh. Tasty. Nice. It's all good.
It's all about
you can find Belgian beer.
What's the one thing you say you have in Brazil that when you come home here, you miss the most? What is it?
Outside of my girlfriend?
Well, outside of that. Because that goes without saying.
Food? There's actually two things. Feijoada.
Feijoada.
Feijoada, which is kind of like the national dish down there. And it's black beans stewed with pork, langouisa, fresh herbs, and it's usually over rice.
Oh, that sounds good.
And then on the side you'll have
That sounds like something from Spain.
Oh, it's good. It's peasant food, but it's fantastic. And then you have this wilted kale that's just chopped up that you have with it, and it's just delicious flavors that come along with it. It's unbelievable. That's good. And then the mortadella sandwich.
Mortadella.
Sandwich de mortadella is fucking unbelievable good. I mean,
it
was on one of those shows. I saw it. It was good. I went to the market, and I mean, downstairs is all the vegetables, all the meat, everything you want. Unbelievable farmer's market, fresh produce, kind of spattered along in there. There's all kinds of places you can grab food. But there's this one place you can get sandwiches, and they make the mortadella sandwich, and it is one of the most amazing guilty pleasures that you will ever have in your life.
Dead good, huh?
Oh, my God. And it's so simple. It's basically pain blanco, or branco, which is white meat.
English, will you, please?
Okay, it's white bread that is fresh, made daily. The crust on it is just nice and just brittle, and the inside is soft. They load on probably an inch and a half of fresh cut mortadella, which is essentially bologna with fat in it. I mean, you can't get any better than that.
Bring it on.
Yeah, it's room temperature.
Now
it's perfect.
You're talking.
Then they put a white cheese over the top, and they kind of hit a little grill on it, and it's just, I mean, delicious. That with a nice cold crispy Brahma beer, and it doesn't get better, man.
Nice.
It's awesome.
Nice.
It's delicious. Yeah, their beer down there is great. But yeah, you have that with a mortadella sandwich, dude, and that's just like,
oh yeah,
that's a little bit of heaven.
Nice.
Yeah, that and the Japanese food. Yeah, but no, if there's one thing that I would say that I miss here is feijoada on Wednesday. Quarta-feira, feijoada.
Really?
Yeah. Quarta-feira is Wednesday.
Yeah.
Feijoada is every Wednesday you get feijoada. That's like if there's a restaurant that's known for feijoada, they have it on Wednesdays.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, coming soon on my blog, on the Zero Face WordPress blog. Okay. My Life as a Foodie. Oh, I need to tell everyone this. MyLifeAsAFoodie.com. That's the new domain.
Really?
Got that now.
Nice.
Don't know why it took me so long.
Good job.
Yeah. So no long with the dot and the dot and the dot and the WordPress.com stuff. So MyLifeAsAFoodie.com. Anyway, Super Bowl's coming up next weekend.
What's that?
Yeah, I know. You don't hate Super Bowl. You also into soccer.
This is not into football. That's all. Sorry.
You know, Super Bowl is literally just an excuse for people who want to make party food, bar food. And one of the greatest bar foods, one of the greatest party foods that you can make, if you really want to make an impression, is beef jerky. And I love to make beef jerky. It's very simple to make. It just gets back in the old cowboy thing. I love, you know, my cowboy roots in Arkansas and the South and stuff. It's very simple. I'm going to put a blog post up. It's going to be too late for Super Bowl, but it is going to be very beneficial for you in future parties. It is literally just taking meat with very little amount of fat, very lean meat, and salting it for a few days.
You can put some, you know, extra stuff on it, soy sauce, teriyaki, however you want to make it. I just prefer to do it cowboy style, salt and pepper, and then some liquid smoke. And then let it sit for about 3 days in a Ziploc bag, airless. And the key to making beef jerky, people think it is to cook it, but it's not. You actually just suck.
Yeah, you just dry it.
Yeah, suck the juice out of it.
Right.
So by putting it in a dehydrator for about 12 hours, it will take all the moisture out of it.
Beautiful.
And with enough salt or sodium nitrate, you basically cure that meat, and it will not won't give you botulism.
No.
Yeah. So that's coming up soon. And I'm going to give you my whole recipe. I basically just did, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I took pictures of the whole thing. I'm going to send some to Groucho and Chud because they sent us this great beer.
Yep. That was good, guys. Good job.
Very good.
Excellent.
Hey, listen, man, thanks for coming in, man. It was good to have you. I feel like old times, man.
My pleasure. A lot of fun. Good.
Thanks to Groucho and Chud for this beer, this Broken Cherry Wheat Ale.
Excellent beer.
Really?
Very good.
Very good.
Yeah, love the nose on it.
Especially considering that they screwed it all up and it still came out like this. Not bad, right?
They stepped in shit and came out smelling like a rose.
They did indeed. Check them out at thebeerreport.com. Groucho and Chud at the Beer Report. Mm-hmm. And for all your beer casting needs, go to beersafari.com.
It's jungle of beer.
Thanks for tuning in. My name is Phil. This is My Life as a Foodie, and we'll see you guys next time. Shalut.
Saúde.
Saúde.
Saúde. Isso.